It's a great day to be here today, and it's so good to see everyone with us this morning. And we're going to continue on the first Sunday of the month here, our theme, which is Joy in Christ. And while I'm talking about the schedule a little bit, just let me say that tonight we're going to have reverse questions and answers. And if you were here for the last time we did that, people had a good time with that, I think. And so we're going to do that again tonight. And so you might just come to tonight's service and check out reverse questions and answers and see how that works out for you, because I think it is very good. All right, well, this morning we're going to look at joy in Christ, and specifically we're going to be talking about the joy of faith in Christ. But remember, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. At every moment in our life, we should, as Christians, have joy in our life. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be times when we have heartache, we won't be suffering. Doesn't mean that we won't have grief from time to time. But for the Christian, there is always underlying joy available to draw upon. And that is something that we can cultivate and develop within our lives as we think about what it takes to have that joy-filled life. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 1 and verses 19 through 26 this morning as we think about the joy of faith in Christ. And the Apostle Paul was a tremendous example for us in this regard, because remember, as we talked about previously, that he was writing this letter from a Roman imprisonment. And whether he was in jail, and some people think he might have been in a jail of sorts, or whether he was simply cuffed to a soldier, and he might have been cuffed to a soldier, which would have been the equivalent of being in jail in that day and time, his situation was not exactly what we would see as being free, right? He was bound. And nevertheless, he had people coming to him, visiting with him. He was able to write these letters to them. The letters of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are sometimes referred to as the prison epistles because they were written while the Apostle Paul was imprisoned. And in Philippians 1, starting in about verse 19, we read these words of the Apostle Paul. He says this, "For I know that this," that is his imprisonment, "will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Joy of faith, that's the expression that the apostle uses right here, that his remaining and continuing with them will be for their progress and joy of faith. What is joy of faith? As we look at what the Apostle Paul himself did, he gives us a great example of that joy of faith right here in this text. And his joy of faith was in Christ. And that's what we're talking about. Joy of faith in Christ. Well, let's look at that first section, verses 19 through 21, and think about how joy of faith in Christ is based upon trusting Christ. Because faith brings joy when we trust Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. Notice he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul trusted Christ implicitly. His entire life was built around following Christ. He was in prison, awaiting trial by Caesar. Why? Because he was testifying of the resurrection of Christ. And notice that this imprisonment, he believed, would turn around and would become his deliverance. At this time, he was confident that he was going to get out of this imprisonment and be able to go once again on missionary trips. In fact, at the end of the book of Romans, he talks about how that one day he would like to go to Spain. And it may very well have been that he went to Spain after this. We don't know. We don't have that record in the Bible. But we know what the faith of Paul was like. And we know that he was going to go preach Christ wherever he went. And so no doubt, after he got out of imprisonment this time, he went on to do more. But his faith was in Christ. Notice that this faith that he had in Christ for his deliverance was through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And these two things moved him to understand that he was going to be delivered. Regardless of what happened, though, he said he was not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Remember what he said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Regardless what happened to him, whether he was delivered or whether his life was going to end, he was not going to be ashamed of the gospel. And that he would magnify Christ in his body, whether through his life or through his death. What does it mean to magnify something? It means to make it bigger. We get a magnifying glass and look at an ant, and it makes that ant look bigger. Or maybe if you're older, like some of us, you get a magnifying glass so you can read a book. Makes the words look bigger. When we magnify Christ, we make Christ look bigger. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what Paul did. And that's what we need to do also. And then he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, Paul trusted Christ with his life. And he was willing to put his life on the line for Jesus. And that's because he identified with Jesus. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul had faith in Christ. He trusted Christ with his whole life, and he identified with him. And we need to have the same faith within our lives to trust Christ like Paul did. How do we do this? We've got to be a praying people. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. We've got to be led by the Spirit that Jesus Christ supplies. Galatians 5 and verse 25. We need to magnify or enlarge Christ in our lives. Identify our lives with Christ by being baptized into Christ, to put on Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27. And just as Paul did not fear death, but he was not ashamed of the gospel, so also we need to not be ashamed of the gospel and not fear death. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 28, fear not him who is able to destroy the body, but is not able to destroy the spirit, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's trusting in Christ. And in order for us to have joy in Christ, we've got to trust in Christ like the Apostle Paul did. He was joyful, even though he was imprisoned. He was still joyful because he trusted in Christ. But then secondly, to have joy in Christ, we've got to desire Christ. Think about what he says here in Philippians 1, 22 and 23. He says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. There were two things that Paul was struggling with. The first was to remain and continue to work with the churches. And he knew if he did that, that would increase his fruit from his labors. But on the other hand, he desired Christ. He wanted to be with Christ. And he knew that that was far better. You know, living in the flesh as Christians, if we're being faithful like a Christian should, means fruit from our labor. The Apostle Paul was a minister for Christ to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 15 and verse 16 tells us that. And he worked tirelessly in order to bring people to Christ. He preached the gospel, and he did so without being ashamed of it. And God wants us also to participate in that great process of bringing others to Christ for the great goal of populating heaven with people. That's what God wants. But of course, this entails that there is a tremendous burden placed upon us, the life of the flesh. And that life is hard. Yes, Paul's desire was to be with Christ in eternity. And he eventually realized that desire. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 and 8, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Being with Christ means an end of labor, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10. Being with Christ means an end of suffering, Revelation 21 and verse 4. Being with Christ means an end of persecution, Revelation 21 and verse 8. And for these reasons, Paul wanted to be with Christ, but he also recognized that to be with Christ meant leaving the earth. It meant leaving the opportunity to get more people into heaven. And he realized that right now he needed to stay so that he could continue working toward that end. Do we desire Christ like the Apostle Paul desired Christ? You know, Paul evangelized because he loved Jesus and he wanted others to know more about him. He preached the gospel because he knew what Jesus wanted. And he wanted to give Jesus exactly that. He suffered because he loved Jesus Christ. Do we desire Jesus Christ as much as Paul did? Think about the words of John in 1 John 3 and verses 2 and 3. He said, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Our hope is in Christ Jesus. And we should be desiring him. But we also want others to desire him. And so we preach Christ just like Paul did. You know, Christ was the source of Paul's joy. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15 and verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Jesus wanted his disciples to have joy. He wanted that joy to be a full joy. For it to happen, we've got to have faith in Christ. We've got to desire Christ. We've got to live for Christ, evangelize for Christ, and even suffer for Christ. But think about the joy that awaits for us. Jesus wanted us to experience that joy and have that joy, and we can have it even right now if we will desire Christ above all else. Joy in Christ comes when we desire Christ. And then finally, joy in Christ comes when we work for Christ. Look at what Paul talks about here in Philippians 1, verses 24 and 26. Well, I didn't put it up there. I skipped ahead. But let's read it again here. Philippians 1, verses 24 through 26. He says this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." He was a worker. He wanted to continue to work for Christ. He wanted to continue to stay with them because he knew that they needed him. Paul worked for Christ. His work of preaching was something that the churches needed. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28 says that he cared for all the churches. And everywhere he went, he taught the same things. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. Are we working for Christ? We've got to do the things that Christ tells us to do. 1 John 3 and verse 7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. We've got to practice righteousness. We've got to do what Christ tells us to do. Paul did that. It wasn't just about trust. It wasn't just about desire. It was about doing the work. And he wanted to do that work. Here it is. He did that work. And he remained with them. And they continued to grow. Think about the work that we need to do. Every single member of the church has a work to do. It doesn't matter who you are. There is something for you to do. Because God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. If they were all one member, where would the body be? You see, every single member is needed. Paul was needed. You are needed. Every member is needed to do the work of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's work was for the progress and joy of faith. And that's what our work is for as well. The progress and joy of faith. How does faith come? By hearing the word of Christ, Romans 10 and verse 17. And preaching Christ brings joy. That's what we talked about last month. And Paul continued to do that. And we need to work for Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6 says, that you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. When we are following, when we are faithful, when we are seeking the Lord in our lives each and every day, that brings joy. And that brings more joy. Because if we think about 1 Thessalonians 2 and verses 19 and 20, it says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Now think about that for just a moment. Look around at those who are seated next to you and think about what they are doing for you and what you are doing for them in Christ. Because this is where our joy is. You are my joy. I am your joy. You are one another's joy. We will all be the Apostle Paul's joy. Because that's what the work is about. Serving one another, helping one another, and taking care of one another. But this means getting busy and doing the work, right? John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Think about all the things that John wrote about. He wrote them so we could have joy. We practice them so that we can have joy. We live them so that we can have joy. Working for Christ brings joy. Now this is the joy of faith. The faith that trusts in Christ. The faith that desires Christ. The faith that works for Christ. Do you have that kind of joy in your life today? Maybe you need to begin down the road of pursuing that joy and obtaining that joy in Christ by becoming a child of God, trusting in Christ, identifying with Christ through hearing his word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing him as Lord, and being baptized for the remission of sin. That's how you begin that journey of having joy in Christ. Or maybe you need help with your journey. Maybe you need to develop more faith in Christ. Maybe you need more desire for Christ. Maybe you need to work more for Christ. If that's the case, then let's talk and we can work that out. We can find a way for you to get those things into your life. And if you have a need this morning that you would like to express before the church, then we'd be happy to receive you. And you can do so right now while together we stand and while we sing.